Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
Smashing Pumpkins said it. 79. Well, they said 1970. They didn't really say it.
No.
They didn't say any of this.
But 79.
79, here we are.
I need to step away from the microphone.
Yeah, well.
Getting too close.
It's too hot. You're too hot, man.
Last podcast, I realized I was up here, and that's like peaking
you
everything.
You were here. You need to be here.
I need to be here.
Not here, but here.
But here, yes.
Right. So.
Hear me now and give me a cheeseburger later.
Oh, my God, no. No, did you just Hans and Franz me?
Well, somewhere between Hans and Franz and Wimpy.
And Wimpy, right. Well, I figured Hans and Franz when they were like, you know, kind of off the wagon of working out.
Yeah.
Girly man, that whole thing.
Girly, yeah.
Yeah. So,
which, by the way, you don't watch the footballs.
I saw the commercial.
But the commercials
with
Rogers is, they've got like two or three, is hilarious.
Right.
The one I saw today was, I want to pump you up. No, we want to pump you up.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, boy, yeah. So I hope everyone had a great Christmas time.
Yes.
Or whatever holiday.
Or Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa,
Festivus.
I think. Yeah, Festivus. I know that Hanukkah was over well before that. Well, not well before, but like a good week before that.
Yeah.
So if you got your dreidels and your delicious socks. I don't know what Hanukkah is. But if, you know, I hope that you, whatever solstice-related holiday that you celebrate, as an atheist, of course, mine is Christmas. No, dude, that is just a fact. That is, atheists fucking love Christmas. We love it. What?
Because it's not the reason for the season?
Well, right. The 23-degree tilt is the reason for the season. But that's beside the point. No, I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe Kurt Cameron can answer it. I don't know. But I think it's like maybe it's because it's not about really that whole Christian thing anymore. It is just hanging out with family and friends and like whatever, getting new toys and shit.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know what? The commercialism of Christmas, wah, whatever, dude. There is nothing better than opening up a new Sega Genesis on Christmas morning. Nothing. Nothing in this world. I would argue, you could bring a heroin addict in here, and I would fucking go toe-to-toe with him and be like, no, there is a better feeling.
I think a six-shooter Nerf gun with 100 rounds of ammo.
It's the same feeling, Scott. It's the same feeling. It's bottling that feeling.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, whatever. So, happy and hope you enjoyed it. And may the new year bring you
lots of stuff.
Taxes. Because that's fucking A, man. They're all the same. These years just keep going by. But this is our last podcast of 2014.
2014, yeah.
So, we hope to bring in the new year with you folks. Well, not with you. I will not be bringing in anything with anybody listening to this unless, I guess, Aaron listens to it.
Yeah.
I'm not fooling myself. She doesn't. So, yeah. We're back.
We are.
Or we'll be back next year.
Yeah.
Let's do that joke.
We'll see you next year.
Gosh.
It's the Morning Zoo Crew.
Boing. How was your week, Scott?
My week was pretty awesome.
Yeah, you went to Salem? Was that
correct? I did go down to Salem. Went to my...
I heard a devil walks there.
Wrong Salem, but
yes. Oh, fuck.
Although, oddly enough, when they were shooting that and saying we were going down south, I was thinking it was Salem, Oregon, but no.
That would have been awesome.
So I'm doing the air quote, my Auntie R, who was my... Is she still my mom's best
friend? I sure do
love...
Would
you label her as my mom's best friend, even though mom's no longer here?
They get labeled auntie forever.
Yeah, and I told her at the party, I said that she is now my new mom.
Oh.
She is.
How did your dad feel about that?
I don't know, because her boyfriend's a dick.
Oh, so this is... Are we going to parent trap this shit?
I think so.
Let's do this.
But no,
I consider myself more of a Haley Mills than a... What, whoever that cokehead is. I forget her name. Man, your neighbors rev their fucking cars a lot.
Yeah, I know. They're all douchebags because they're angry. I'm going to... making a statement. Slam. Fuck. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
Haley Mills.
So she has a Christmas Eve party.
Right.
Used to be a Christmas Eve party.
Gotcha.
But then people would have family and be going different places and yada, yada, yada. So now it's the Christmas Eve party. And it was awesome because her three sons were there and we were all in scouts together.
Are we just doing 50 shows now?
We are.
Because it's like, all right, so my three sons.
Yep.
And the, yeah, all right.
Yeah. And so I got to talk to them about Camp Abercorn.
You're making that up. That's a made-up name. Well, no. I mean, they're all made up, but...
No, Camp Abercorn. That's the pilot I shot.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
The TV pilot.
Oh, right. Cool.
And so we were reliving, and I was telling them that literally in the script it had the announcements, and then without missing a beat, Rich just jumped right in, and then we started doing the Camp Pioneer.
Oh, boy.
Song, and I mean it was amazing, and had some Johnny Walker Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mike brings a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. He's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his clients gave him the bottle, the same type of bottle that I got when we came back from Canada.
Right.
So it was the 1 liter Johnny Walker Blue. It's like a $250 bottle if you buy it at the duty free shop at the border, and a $300-something bottle if you buy it normally here in the States. And I had my $60 bottle of Scottish barley Brooklotti unpeated scotch, and no one was touching the Johnny Blue, and everybody was drinking mine.
Oh, boy.
Because we have a long-standing tradition that I bring the scotch and Mike will bring the cigars.
Gotcha.
And he has forgotten the last 3 years to bring the cigars.
Oh, darn. So you just have a bunch of more scotch.
So we just have a bunch more scotch. But this year, he brought the scotch and cigars, and I got to have some 12-year-old Rocky Patels.
Oh, I don't know what any of that means.
It is a magnificent cigar.
Okay.
So it was a lot of time out on the deck, freezing our balls off, smoking a nice cigar, having scotch, talking about scout camp, and it was a really, that was a really good time.
So how do you feel now that Cubans are legal, officially?
I think that they are a wonderful cultured people. And
Cuban people are legal, Cuban cigars specifically.
I will get lambasted for this, but I find them to be highly overrated, and... I've been up in Canada and I've had a Cohiba, a Cuban Cohiba, and I like a lot of other domesticated, or not domesticated, but a non-Cuban cigars much better. Arturo Fuentes.
They're a people of salty thighs. That's the issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because of the humidity down there, the virgins that roll them perspire at a certain salinity, and it does make a difference in the outer wrapper. It's true. Depending upon how high up on their thighs,
it's
a totally different cigar.
You would have thought, well, at least I walked in. You would have thought that, you know, Clinton would have been the one to have made that happen. But no. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
No, really. Thanks, Obama.
And I believe his reasoning is correct. None of the rest of the world is doing this anymore.
Yeah.
We're the only ones.
It's fucking Cuba.
And it's not
Cuba.
Hurting anybody.
Right.
Except... the oppressed people of
Cuba.
Cuba,
right. It's just a carryover. We also need to send a representative over to Japan and be like, you know what? Look at a vagina. Quit being, like, seriously, just calm down. Just look at one. Because that was McCarthy. That was McCarthy that did that. Yeah, they pixelate it. And so since they have to pixelate it, they do all this shit with tentacles and, like, fucking gigantic penis monsters and all this shit because they have to get around it. Just fucking give those people a hustler, take the McCarthy out of their fucking country, let them go hang laundry topless again, That was all us, man. That was, we did that. America did that.
Really?
Yeah, through the stranglehold of McCarthyism after the war.
Yeah.
McCarthy went in and gave moral orders to what he thought, as his good red-blooded Christian American self would. You know, he's like, you guys in Japan are hedonists and you're Shintoists and fuck you, Christianity, and here are your rules. And
what?
So, yeah. And so McCarthyism fucking is why everything's pixelated, and it's why, I mean, I think it expired, but now it's tradition or whatever. But fuck, man, come on. I don't need, like, people go into fucking theaters and watch depictions of, like, 13-year-olds, and just fucking get a Hustler. Come on.
Yeah. I will say this, though.
Yeah.
Apparently everything is 70s or earlier with Japanese porn, and I wish they'd just, you know, learn how to use a razor.
I don't care at all. That's not my business. I'm just happy to be involved, man. I don't care if it's hairy, shaved, whatever. Go nuts. You know what? Half and half. Fucking just right down. Yes. like a fucking... And you know what? Bring a friend and they can do the other side and it can be like a weird Star Trek warring races.
A Rorschach
thing.
Test.
A Rorschach. Fine with me. Fine with me. Don't dreadlock it. That's my only stipulation.
Yeah,
because dreadlocks,
that would be,
dreadlocks smell bad on your head.
Yeah.
That, so... dreadlock it if you want. I don't fucking care. It'd be like you were banging a beaded curtain in the 70s. It'd be, no, maybe.
Enter the room, exit the room.
No.
Enter the room,
exit. Here's the way I look at it, right?
Bo Derek.
I have never met anyone who's requested that I be shaved. Therefore, I am not going to inflict that on anyone else.
No, and I understand that. And a person's privates are their own to scape
as the
ever
name,
they want.
As the name implies.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But... I'm just saying.
Even if they're Publix, I don't care. Just go nuts. But again, no dreadlocks.
Yeah, and maybe it's because of the pixelatedness.
Yeah.
It seems much.
Also, the genital bedazzling in general seems really dangerous to me. Because one of those rhinestones is going to come off, and it's going to get somewhere nobody is going to like it.
Yeah.
So the wang dazzle and badge dazzling, out the door.
Yeah.
Anus dazzling, I'm fine with. Go nuts with that. Because I stay generally away from that area anyway.
Well, yeah, but hopefully once a day, if not more frequently.
That's not
and
my,
regular.
I don't.
There is an exit policy.
Yes,
that could be problematic.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's your business. I'm not going to get up in your business. If you...
Yeah.
God, this is really gross.
This is taking a turn for the worse. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Talk about
how
a
did we get here?
Talk about a diamond in the rough.
Oh. In the muff.
A diamond in the muff. That's what veg... Yeah. And for our British friends, of course, that's
the fanny.
The fanny,
yes.
Is the... Yeah.
Oh, I've got a fanny story,
see,
but I'm not going to go there.
Fanny dazzling just sounds awesome. But, you know, it's still the same thing. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, except for, you know, you do it on the other side of the road.
Sometime when the statute of limitations is gone, and I don't mean age statute of limitations, just...
Duh.
I have, if we're still doing the podcast, I have a very hilarious fanny story that was very shocking to me in an obvious way, never having heard reference to that
you
before.
You thought it was the butt.
And...
Like the gluteus.
Right.
Right.
Yes, the American fanny.
Right.
And I was, I believe the term would be gobsmacked at the thought of, what?
You did what?
Oh,
right.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for acknowledging the surprise. Yep. And, well, I guess now I've just sort of told the story. But there'll be more graphic detail in 10 to 20 years.
Right. Give the fanny badger its treat. What?
Fanny badger don't give a shit.
I hope not. Not outside of America. If that is, you have a perforated colon at that point, and you need to go see the doctor, because that will kill you if your fanny is giving a shit.
Yeah.
We're getting
too
gross.
Soon.
Too soon? Oh, fuck. I didn't even remember. I don't... Your mom is not a sexual object to me, Scott. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you very so much. My mind is nowhere near your mother's fanny.
My mind isn't either until I hear diverticulitis.
Hush.
Which is not the same as diverticulosis.
Oh, what is the difference?
I don't know.
One's an itis, one's an osis.
Yeah.
One goes with white wine, one goes with the red.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
One's more of your fish, poultry, pork variety,
gotcha,
and
gotcha.
One is just the shark and steer, bison.
Oh, God. Speaking of sharks. No, hear me out. Hear me out. So I put myself, sorry for that breath, I don't care. I put myself in front of some terrible movies this week. One of those movies was Anchorman 2. Terrible and awesome. Totally loved it. Worth the no dollars I spent because it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Well, okay, free in air quotes because I pay for Netflix. Whatever. I wasn't watching anything else at the time. Free for me. It's not good.
No.
But it's awesome. It's not good. And you should totally watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a string of... It's a movie. It's almost like that Anchorman remix movie that they did.
Yes,
with all the outtakes. Because it feels like one giant outtake from the original Anchorman.
Yes.
It's got Cyclops in it, so that's kind of cool. But it's got... the fucking cameos are ridiculous.
Oh.
Will Smith, man, did not expect that.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson didn't expect.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning. Right at the fucking beginning. He walks in and it's Han fucking Solo. What?
Yep.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. That was...
Yeah.
That was just a license to, hey, we're making a movie. We got some money. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yep.
Who gives a shit what it turns out to be?
Yeah. And Adam McKay, whatever, the writer-director guy, he's already said that that was just, like, for fun, and there is no three.
Yeah.
So don't fucking look for one, but totally. I also watched the interview. I did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was on Xbox, Christmas Day. Mm. We weren't doing anything. So I was like, all right, well, I can spend $5 right now rather than go spend 20 at a theater.
Yep.
Watch it in my underwear. The movie made me put pants on. I did not want to be in any state where I couldn't flee the house after it started. Not good. Not good. Pineapple Express 2. I mean, I didn't like Pineapple Express. I thought it was boring.
Yeah.
It at least had Danny McBride. This didn't have Danny McBride. Huge missed opportunity, in my opinion. It was... not good. It wasn't bad though. It wasn't like terrible.
Right.
I didn't feel bad that I'd spent $5 on it. But it wasn't good.
The expectation should be I'm watching a thing that was made into a movie.
Yeah.
That got hyped up way too much and I want to watch it to say that I've watched it.
Yes.
And knowing that, it will be okay. But if you're expecting it to be a good movie, it's not.
Right.
It's a good experience to have seen it.
It's a mediocre film. Many more things are much funnier.
Yeah.
But I will say that, first of all, Korea is Vancouver, by the way. Like, I picked out a ton of locations. There's one location where they're launching a boat, and it's actually a really fucking famous painting about a bay in that area where, like, I mean, it's a fucking amazing painting, but it's that... And so it's not Korea in my head at all. This whole thing is Vancouver. It was... So just to stave off the questions, I do not believe Sony hacked themselves. I know some people are saying like, whoa, they did that to make a bunch of fucking publicity for this movie. It made $1 million. It probably cost $50 million.
Yeah.
So no, it wasn't worth it if that's the case. I don't think they hacked themselves anyway because they really, really, unless it was all a trick, I would say it would be more likely it was a trick to get rid of Adam Sandler because they lambasted Adam Sandler in those public emails. I would say that if they were hacking themselves for anything, it was that. But I've read the article that people are like, oh, it's, you know, probably wasn't Korea and all this stuff. Here's the thing. Citing the Korean OS, is worthless because the Korean OS is not what they would use to hack because it's so locked down, you can't do it. So using Windows or using a Western OS totally makes sense. The fact that it's not a hack and it's never been a hack, I think, is the most important thing here. It's never been a hack. They got a hold of a password. That's not a
right.
hack.
Right.
That's stealing a password. So whether that password was leaked internally, whatever, doesn't matter. It's not really a hack. They didn't go in and like subvert security or anything. They yeah. just fucking got a password. Okay. Yeah. It's a social engineering hack, if anything. Where it came from, I don't know. I mean,
and a disgruntled employee looking to do something like that? Highly likely.
Yeah, and it could have come from, you know, it may not have come from the North Korean government, but there's nothing saying it couldn't have come from someone who sympathizes with the North Korean government
yeah.
or China to stir up shit or South Korea to stir up shit,
mm-hmm.
you know, or just a fucking disgruntled employee who wanted to blame Korea because they knew this fucking movie was coming out. Maybe. I don't know. But it backfired if they thought they were going to make back the money they spent on the interview by putting this out. They would have yeah. made way more money just doing a standard release.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe that was the intent of the hack. That being said, okay, movie, I guess. Whatever.
Have you seen The Hobbit?
I have not seen The Hobbit yet. I did. We are one disc away from being done with the Lord of the Rings trilogy, extended edition.
Mm-hmm.
We started that Christmas Day after the interview, and then we've been watching them. We skipped yesterday, but we've been watching, you know, about a disc and a half. Because
mm-hmm.
it's two discs per movie.
Right.
And these are Blu-ray. Yep. So it's 4 hours per movie. A little over.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're on second disc of Return of the King, where, you know, Aragorn goes and they bow and everybody cries and all that shit.
Yep.
So, which means we're on second disc of Return of the King, which means we're almost done with the movie. And then we have that hour and a half epilogue.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll see how that works.
Yeah. I need to go back and watch the first two Hobbits.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that, yeah, I'm a little mad at Peter Jackson.
Too much fucking CGI, man.
Too much fucking CGI. Too much stuff that isn't
in the book at all.
Well, it's been a long time since I've read it. I remember there not being a lot.
Stretching a 2-page description of Smaug sacking Lake Town and getting shot by Bard.
Yes.
Into 45 minutes is excessive.
And how they did it.
Also, they spent the entire last movie talking about how important the fucking Black Arrows are.
Yeah.
And even in the preview, he starts by shooting regular fucking arrows at him.
Yep.
What?
Well, there's a reason for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the way that it is that he gets it mm-hmm. is pretty awesome. The way that he shoots it.
Doesn't his kid bring it to him?
Yeah.
Like, no, I mean, like, isn't that, that's what happened in the cartoon, I think. No, okay. No. In the cartoon, a page brought it to him, but not, yeah, okay.
But, I mean, there was so much, I can do this without giving anything away. There's a bridge collapse.
It's a 60-year-old book, dude. Just go nuts.
Where Legolas, I know, but I don't want to give anything away from
the movie.
From the movie.
Right.
But there are things that were so unplausible. Like, a bridge is collapsing, and Legolas is running up the falling rocks.
Mm.
And it's one or two and leaps onto the surface, you know.
Whatever, sure, fine. Yeah. Inertia, good enough.
For 30 seconds, probably 12 of these things. I'm like, you're all falling at the same rate. He's not getting any higher. He is not faster than gravity. And I don't care if he's an elf or not. The anti-aging schmarm that they put over his face was too much to handle. I saw it at a RPX theater, which I will tell you this. Dolby Atmos. Best fucking theater invention since DLP.
Is this the chair?
No, this is Dolby Atmos is beyond surround sound.
Okay.
It's basically atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
So the preview that they, you know, you're in this theater sells it. I don't know what happened through the rest of the movie, but it is way beyond surround sound.
I need to go down with
you. It's like,
let's go check
30
it out.
Different speakers or something. It's DLP projected.
Yeah.
Bigger screen. And it was a really awesome experience from that standpoint. You pay for it.
Was it 3D?
No.
Was it 48 frames?
I believe so.
Eesh. Okay.
I think that's what the other thing is, was high frame. I can't remember all the things, but I was just like, yeah, I'll go see this movie because it's going to have been made for all these fun things.
Right.
There was a theater that had the seat shifting, but the person I went with was like, yeah, that never really works. And the amount of money you're paying for it. Yeah. Now, if I was going to see Fast and Furious and it had that, I might go see that because now I'm going to be in the car as we're doing things. But walking through a battle, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Stab me through the heart with
It's supposed to like, it does like a fly, what you're flying through. It does kind of the, like the video game lean.
Right.
You, do, you know, but here's the thing. They had this shit in the 50s, remember?
Yes.
They had the rumble seats. Mm-hmm. They had like all of the smell-o-vision.
Mm-hmm.
When they pump shit into the fucking theater. They did all these gimmicks back in the 50s.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's coming.
And then stopped and for a reason.
It stopped for a reason, exactly. 3D stopped for a reason. Like, I don't care if you're like, well, yeah, red and blue, blah. It doesn't matter. It stopped because it wasn't a great experience.
Yeah.
I will say 48 frames a second in 2D is garbage. It is trash, ass, poo, garbage. 48 frames a second in 3D gets more light to your eyes. It does all the things that it needs to do. And because you're already in that weird sort of state of your brain not knowing what to make of the image, I actually do very much like 48 frames a second in 3D, but never in 2D. In 2D, it looks like shit. So,
and this didn't look bad, so maybe it's not...
Maybe not.
It's not 48 frames a second.
If it didn't look like a soap opera, it's not 48 frames a second. Well,
if it didn't look heightened.
I was going to say, if it didn't look like a soap opera, barring the CGI over everything, because everything was painted. Every frame of that movie was repainted with CGI.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And it, yeah.
The fucking bell. He climbs a bell tower. The bell looks like a giant fucking plastic toy.
Not only that, but the size of the bell and him standing at the bell tower while the bell is ringing, totally ignoring the fact that you would be deaf.
What?
Totally ignoring the fact that you would be deaf.
Huh?
He's on the bell tower and he's standing there and it's ringing and he's totally ignoring the fact that it's ringing.
No, my phone's off. What? Anyway, so yeah, I agree with you that... Well, you know, I don't agree with everyone blaming Peter Jackson because he didn't want to do this movie anyway. Remember,
he didn't want to do The Hobbit?
No, he turned it down initially. He was going to do Halo initially.
Oh.
But Halo, like the whole thing. Anyway, this is a fucking paycheck. This is like the last paycheck he will ever need in his life. He can go make Heavenly Creatures 80 at this point.
Yeah.
Heavenly Creatures, a XXX parody, which I guess would be Clothed. He could go do that at this point, be fine for the rest of his life. He doesn't have to do anything ever again because this was just a paycheck, huge ass paycheck. I'm pretty sure the email went $ and he said $.
Yeah.
So, that reminds me, guess what I watched today? Not the
dollar sign.
Not another teen movie. It's underrated. Oh, it's totally underrated because it came out when all the movies started coming out and most of them were terrible. Scary Movie was good, but then you had, you know, fucking Date Movie and Epic Movie and, you know, so when all the movies started coming out, this one kind of like was the beginning, but it got lost a little bit because of the follow-ups. It's actually pretty good. They did a really good job of making fun of teen movies.
A large number of teen movies.
And you do totally get to see someone pushed up against a window, and it's kind of hot. Just putting that out there. That's for you.
Nothing beats The Watchmen.
Yeah.
That scene
In the owl car or whatever.
I mean, that song and that scene. It was like,
she tied you to the kitchen chair. She stole your...
Stop it. Stop it.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't want to...
Talk about now I have to put pants on. Thanks, Andy.
Well, I've been trying to get you to put pants on all night, buddy.
Well, I am.
I just wish you wouldn't stand on the apple box, too. It's my line
of
sight. It's my line of sight. Can we at least separate the mics a little bit?
Sure.
All right, thanks. Good. So, my week was really boring. Though on Friday, I did get a new phone.
Cool.
I'll talk about that for a second. I got an invite for OnePlus.
Okay, and you're done.
If you go to OnePlus.net, you can see it's this phone that's got these ridiculous specs, unlocked, completely like carrier free, $350 for a 64 gig version. As an Android phone goes, it's fucking awesome. I will say, as an Android phone goes, it's awesome. I already miss my Windows phone so bad. I'm going to go back to it. I'm giving this one a full week, so I'm holding on to it till Friday. But Android ain't my bag at all.
Yeah.
It's customizable to the gills, and I just don't care about, like, I don't fucking care if my Chrome icon is not the official Chrome icon. That doesn't bother me in any way, but apparently a lot of people it really bothers. So, you know, you can customize anything. Guess what? People are fucking paid to know how people use phones, and when they design phones that people can use, they put that knowledge into the phone, and you don't have to customize shit.
Yeah.
These, they can just say, yeah, whatever, fucking figure it out. No, it's customizable, man. It's like unlocks your power or whatever. Blah. Here you go. So, yeah, not a hyper fan of this. It's nice being able to use some new apps that, like, I haven't been able to use on Windows Phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I boot them up. I launch them. I go do one or two things, and I'm like, that's cool. And then I never use them again. That's the app ecosystem.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got 20 gazillion apps. You're going to use two.
Yep.
Forever. So, enjoy it. But the big killer for me is the camera. It's just, it's a good camera, but I'm used to great cameras.
Yeah.
Lumia does a great camera.
Yeah.
And it's the post-processing software that's patented, so nobody else can have it, so there's just nothing they're going to be able to do to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just boring, flat images. Terrible.
So. It is a nice form factor and everything, mm-hmm. but yeah, I mean, I look at it and I'm like, oh, it works like a slightly reconfigured iPhone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the same side-scrolling
mm-hmm.
crap for your apps.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put everything that you have goes on there. You know, there's no... That's what I like about the Windows Phone.
Mm-hmm.
Here's all the apps that I use.
On the front.
On the front.
Mm-hmm.
I can do one single swipe and get to a list
mm-hmm.
that I can go alphabetically,
mm-hmm.
quick to letters, and grab the app that I want.
Yep.
So I have access to either way.
Mm-hmm.
But on here, you have one screen that you can put, you know, what is it now, 16 on an iPhone, or is it 20 per screen?
I don't
screen?
Know. I don't.
I think it was 3x4 and 12, so now it's 4x4, so it's 16.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the little bar at the bottom where you can put four that you use all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it, to me, it's as a user, mm-hmm. it's not a good user experience.
Well, and Android's even worse, frankly. Like, I mean, iPhone is even better at being a phone. Mm-hmm. And I know people don't carry these things to be phones anymore, but I consider texting to be part of a phone, and you know, MMS is part of a phone. The camera, to me, like things that are built in. Not uninstallable kind of things. That's
yeah.
And they all have that, but getting to it on an iPhone, like you said, you've got the four launchers, everything is non-alphabetical, just figure it out. At least you have folders now, which is
yeah.
great. But on Android, you also now have, if you find a phone that doesn't have some bullshit customization from the carrier or from the manufacturer, which all of those, by the way, also carry absolutely non-uninstallable apps that you mm-hmm. just you cannot fucking get rid of.
Yep.
Like, if you are on a Droid X2, you still have Blockbuster. Blockbuster doesn't exist, and you still have it because you cannot uninstall it.
Yeah.
So
or the Samsung apps
yeah.
that
the Verizon, like the VZ Navigator and all that shit. You can't get rid of these things. So now, in fairness, the OnePlus is a fully open image, so you can get rid of anything you want. But again, you get widgets, which seem like a good idea, except for to be usable, because they're all about, like, whiz bang, I guess. To be usable, they take up so much real estate. And they just, it's sparse. It's sparse real estate. Like, if you look at my, I'm just going to grab this real quick. Mm-hmm. So here's this this weather widget, right, on the first page here. Look at how much of that is just wasted space.
Wow, I'd say three quarters of that is the weather widget that has two lines of information.
I've got a clock up here already, so I don't need that big fucking clock. Okay. All I need, I don't need these fucking little clouds that are centered in this field, and it's just taking up a bunch of extra fucking space.
Yeah.
You know, on my Windows phone, it's like a fucking tile, a square tile. It's got the current temperature, it's got the high and low, and it's got a small, simple icon that tells me, is it cloudy, is it sunny, is it snowy? Mm-hmm. Shit like that. And then if it needs it, in the upper left-hand corner, a little exclamation point that tells me there's a weather advisory.
Right.
And that's all in one little fucking square. That's the same size as an app, as any app takes up.
Mm-hmm. So these, or you could make it into a big square, or you could make it into a sidelong square.
Yeah.
And truly customize your viewing experience. And now drop them, which I haven't done yet. I really need to do that. But to drag and drop and do the folders thing on a Windows phone.
Yeah.
Do all my travel apps in one. Oh, best website ever. There's a... I have it here. If you're driving, it is the ultimate app to have. It is called nearestrestarea.com.
I'll check that out.
And you can say, what's the interstate road you're traveling on? What state is it?
Nice.
It tells you all the mile markers.
Nice.
Of the rest areas. So you can just go, whoosh, oh, I'm on I-5. I'm at mile marker 45 and I have to pee.
Nice.
Oh, there's the next one's at mile marker 54 or 90. Mm. I'll take 54, please. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And because it's the one thing that I wanted on Garmin that I thought it was going to have on their Navigator, which is, and it seems so simple on any of these devices, including the phone, the Nokia thing should have it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Is be able to turn on rest areas. They don't move.
Well,
they don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, and you can do POIs. You can show gas stations. Why can't you fucking show rest areas?
Yeah.
But let's try this out, by the way. So this is, we're actually going to, let's enjoy this new phone experience as a group. All of you guys get to play along. Let's see what happens here.
Oh, sweet.
Okay, Google. How can I listen to the Two Bards podcast? Nothing. If I ask Cortana that, it actually takes me to the podcast app with Two Bards.
Here,
yeah.
Let me.
You can just. Oh, you're not going to do it with voice?
Yeah, I am. Oh. Sorry. I was.
Were you texting someone during the podcast?
Cortana, how can I listen to Two Bards podcast?
What does she say? Do you at least get something that isn't... like, I got a sporting event.
I got... can listen to podcasts. Cortana will help me find some video podcasts. What Cortana's doing right now.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm wrong so far.
At least Cortana understood you were looking for podcasts. Mine took me to a sporting event.
Two Bards... no.
It's because I talked.
Yes.
I'll shut up. But, you know.
Listen to Two Bards podcast.
It did it?
Two Bards, One Mic.
There we go.
Audio only.
There you go.
Takes to the RSS feed, or it takes you to the audio HTML page, or it takes you to Stitcher, or it takes you to...
Did you just say, you just said Two Bards podcast, right?
I said listen to Two Bards podcast.
Okay, let me try that exact phrase. Okay, Google. Listen to Two Bards podcast. Nope. Battle Bards is part of the Gaming Entertainment Network. Druidcast, Obod, Battle Bard, Spoonie the Bard.
Yeah. First two results are twobards.com.
Fuck you, Google.
And yeah, this the third yeah. one is Stitcher.
All right. Well, so
I think something's wrong with my Cortana though, because every time I hit search, mm-hmm. I have to then hit audio again instead of being able.
Oh,
to
hold
just...
search. Hold search down. Try this.
Oh. Listening. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. You got to hold search down. So
see, user error.
Anyway, I don't. Yeah. Well, Cortana and Siri are both way, way better at voice than OK Google.
Yeah.
Or whatever it's called, Google Now, Google Then, Google Why. Google, why won't you love me?
Why won't you love me?
Google loves me for my data. It wants the D, ATA. So should we get to some questions?
Sure.
We're running long on our short podcast here.
We are. All right. And I will say that the rest of my week was basically a holiday celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing The Hobbit.
Yep.
Go Seahawks, NFC West Division Champs. They beat St. Louis.
Oh,
they,
and something else happened. Arizona
did, Arizona lost.
Which was good, right?
It didn't matter.
Oh, okay.
But the 49ers won.
That did matter.
That did. Well, it mattered in that Harbaugh is going to Michigan State. He got fired from the 49ers. He's going back to college.
Womp womp.
But he's going to probably be the highest paid college coach, and well deservedly so. The guy is a good coach. His personality is weird. I explained it to my dad as this. Jim Harbaugh is just like me as I used to be in the corporate world.
Mm.
I don't tolerate a lot of bullshit. Mm-hmm. My players, anyone that I worked with, loved me.
Mm-hmm.
His players love Harbaugh. They all say he's a wonderful coach. They never have a bad thing to say. Upper management doesn't like him because he's not a yes man and he wants to get shit done the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad chuckled because he understood that.
There you go.
But yeah, so it didn't matter. We had to win. We were in control of our own destiny. Mr. Brophy will be upset because we have the same record as the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was the Cowboys in the head of their division. So there's three divisions. West, East, and Central now for AFC and NFC. So there's six divisions. National Football League, American Football Conference. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, Jesus
AFC,
Christ.
NFC. Right. Anyway, the three... Usually, there's only a tie for first place. We have a 12-4 record. Cowboys have a 12-4 record.
Okay.
So we have we're both the head of our division with exactly the same record.
You look like you're grabbing two cocks right now. I just want you to know that. All right.
And when that... that's about the right level. Anyway. So
I told you getting off that Apple box at home.
I know.
Yeah.
So they are same record. Tiebreaker. So whoever wins the most games between the two facing off, or if you only have the one game, whoever wins the one game, that's the tiebreaker.
Okay.
The problem with Mr. Brophy and his upsetness at the Cowboys not getting first place for the entire NFC division. Is that Green Bay Packers also have a 12-4 record. Mm-hmm. So it's now a three-way tie for the best record.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that you can have a tiebreaker with three teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they go with the best in-conference record, of which we have far and away the better record.
Okay.
But we went from a 3-3 team to a 6-3 team in October, looking like... There's no way in hell we're even going to get in the playoffs.
Okay.
And we have come back at a furious pace and basically won out everything to be the top dog. All playoff games now, up until the Super Bowl, come through Seattle.
Wow.
Unless we lose.
Wow. Okay.
So it's a very, very exciting day. Very exciting day.
I have already purged everything you just said.
I know.
But it's not going to...
Very exciting day.
Very exciting.
It's good for Seattle.
Oh,
way to go,
you,
Seahawks.
Yeah, boy, what day is it? It's Christmas Day, sir!
Go find the biggest turkey for a 50-cent piece.
I already found the biggest turkey.
Questions?
Sea turkeys.
Is that where we're going?
Yeah, we're going to Turkey.
Okay.
We're going to Turkey.
We're going to Turkey. Rob McLennan writes...
Oh, Rob McLennan.
And we're sorry that this didn't get on the last podcast. We recorded early.
But you cannot take our freedom.
Cannot. It's true.
It's true.
So we're sorry we didn't answer it on the last podcast, but that's because we had recorded before you posted your question. Mm-hmm. You ask, if you're making a video yourself, do you have a preference of the sort of camera gear you use? Professional, a small handheld, DSLR. Include a Nokia camera, of which we are award winners.
Yes.
In shooting a small video with editing.
Shot clock.
In 1080p.
Yep.
On a phone.
Yes. And this was a little while back when that wasn't a thing. Still right. Pretty bad. And I mean, ours looked great because it's the best camera in class. It really is, by far. I prefer, frankly, using my pro gear when I film for myself, because it's pro with air quotes around it, because it's the Blackmagic Design camera, right? But for example, in 1080p, I can record on a 480 gig drive at 1080p ProRes. I can record on that thing for 8 hours.
Yep.
So, and it'll just keep going for 8 hours. It's great. And you still get a lot of color information and everything like that. It still looks way better than a DSLR. So, and for the price, you can't go wrong. The Blackmagic Design cameras are just fucking awesome for the price. So that is what I use. Now, there's an old saying amongst photographers, and probably more so now amongst videographers than it used to be, because it used to be the best camera is the one that you can afford to rent. Now it's the best camera is the one you have with you. So that does mean the phone camera actually gets trump card in most of these places, because the phone camera is the one you're going to have on your hip.
Yeah.
So, preference, definitely Blackmagic Design. Definitely the 4K production camera, if I can do it. If not, the cinema camera. And the only reason the 4K wins out is due to the global shutter.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do snaps back and forth, you don't get the jelloing effect.
Right.
If you want to see the jelloing effect in action, go pick up This Is the End and just look at the background at any time when they're doing any fast movement, and you will see everything stretching off the screen, because it's all wobbly.
Now, if you're asking, I don't know how he's asking the question. You have answered the direct question of if you're making a video for yourself.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to answer the question as if it's, hey, I'm a consumer. If I'm making a video for myself, what preference of gear should I use? I think it's A, what you can afford.
Yes.
But B, if you're talking about just making a video yourself, for fun, that's just going to be, you know, oh, I'm going to put some stuff together, get as high definition as you can, which a lot of times it's the camera phone on your hip. They shoot in the right frame rate. They shoot in an editable format. Certain phones don't have the capacity to have an external memory card. Correct. So sometimes you're limited in that.
Yeah. Just have a laptop with you and drop stuff.
But a DSLR, I mean, JourneyQuest was DSLR.
Yeah.
And
frankly, JourneyQuest would have looked no better if it had been shot on a Canon T2i than if it had been shot on the 7D, which it was shot on.
Right.
So the Canon T2i, I think, is like a $400, $500 camera.
Yep.
Just go pick up a cheap... The nice thing
get about, a used one on eBay.
Get a used one
or
on eBay.
Craigslist or whatever.
The nice thing about DSLRs is they are also still cameras. So you get to have a really nice still camera to take pictures of your cat or, you know, your neighbor, whatever. I don't judge. Don't take pictures of your neighbor. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Unless your neighbor's into it, then fucking take some pictures of your neighbor, because that's just cool.
Especially if she's like the one that you used to live next to.
She?
On Queen Anne.
My neighbor's a dude.
Now...
I'm just saying they like being... What? I'm,
the Queen Anne.
This is
Anne.
Photography, man. I never lived in Queen Anne. You're thinking Capitol Hill.
Or Capitol Hill.
Yeah, we had a naked neighbor in Capitol Hill, a la Friends. So
that
she
seemed
didn't,
to
she,
enjoy...
Yeah, she liked walking by her window naked. She didn't get fat and get a hammock. Isn't that... Wasn't it fat, ugly, naked guy got a hammock or something? Yeah. But, you know, just if you want the ability to shoot stills, definitely. I will still say, even at a consumer level, if you can swing it, grab a Blackmagic Cinema camera.
Yeah.
They're, you can get them anywhere from $500 to $750 right now. Sometimes
really?
Sometimes they go on super sale. Like, I think, a couple of months ago, they went on sale for $500, and a Metabone Speed Booster came with it for $750. The Metabone Speed Booster is awesome because it turns your Micro Four Thirds lenses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it means you can use actual EF lenses on the camera, and it puts more light onto the sensor, so you gain a stop and a half of iris, which is great. If that doesn't make sense to you, don't worry about it. It just means that you can shoot lower light. Awesome stuff. You can also make shallower depth of field shots and things like that. Additionally, it allows you to put just EF lenses without any other anything onto mm-hmm. the camera. The Metabones version does active. It does an active electronics pass through, so you can still get autofocus and stuff like that out of your lenses, which is kind of cool. But anyway, $750 now, all the way up to about $1,350, depending on what time of year you hit their stock, gets you a camera that makes film quality film and shoots on SD cards and is really fucking cool.
Hmm.
So I just throw that out there.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Now, your phone is probably going to have better sound than any of these, by the way. So if you don't have the ability to do separate sound, your phone might actually still be the better choice because they don't make DSLRs. They don't make cinema cameras for audio.
No, but you can't get a Zoom really inexpensively.
Yep, Zooms are easy, and they use batteries, and you can just literally put it in your hand and hold it toward people.
Or get a... Can't you do a boom, a flash mount?
You can do a flash mount. You can do you can tape it to a broomstick. I'm not even kidding. I think when we did... what was the name of that movie? The short with Keith Bowling that we did for the Renton Film Fest.
Oh, right.
Anyway, he just had it on a secondary tripod.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little shitty tripod just pointing at us.
Yep.
So, yeah.
With no external, you used the mics that were on it.
Yeah, the mics that were on it. So, it's totally easy to do. But, there's really not a solid cinema shooter that has good built-in sound that I would recommend off the top of my head. The best thing you're going to get for that is like a CCD-based camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
So, or a CMOS-based cam. Yeah, just basically a JVC or a Panasonic handheld camcorder that either shoots onto SD card or shoots onto tape.
Yeah.
So, but I hate those with a passion. Yeah. Gotta be able to switch lenses.
Yep. Okay. Paula Moran writes, what is your favorite thing to do after having a bad day?
Start having a good one.
And see, I thought you were going to go with masturbate.
What did I just say?
Oh, okay. There you go.
I take my good days into my own hands. Yeah, well, you know, it's Washington State. We can do a lot to make our days brighter. Yeah, we can do a lot to make our days brighter.
I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I do no longer do it, although I would like to,
mm-hmm.
but I really shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
When I was having a really bad day, mm-hmm. I would get a snack bag of Lay's potato chips
mm-hmm.
and a Snicker bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I would put in a movie. I didn't care if it was Rudy. And I mean, if I'm having a bad day and I need to cry, I'll throw in Rudy. And I'll cry about something else
mm-hmm.
and then feel better because now it's done.
Right.
But I would eat a mouthful of Lay's and crunch them down.
I know.
Until I could take a bite of the Snicker bar.
And mix it all together.
And mix it all. Yep. So I got the salty and sweet. I got the peanuts and the caramel and the chocolate and the nougat all mm-hmm. working. And I don't know what it was, but all of the neurons and synapses in my brain were really happy.
Your dopamine and your ephedrine were...
More recently, it was get a quart of ice cream and sit down with some Tillamook mudslide.
Nice.
And, or some
Butterfinger.
I meant
serotonin, by the way. I said ephedrine, and that's completely wrong. Though, ephedrine can lift your mood.
It certainly can.
You probably aren't going to want the ice cream.
Nope.
All right.
But, Yeah, yeah. Butterfinger ice cream. Oh my God, that's just.
Well, I'm in the eating my feelings club as well.
Yeah.
I try not to, but oh my God, it is the quickest turnaround for me.
Yeah.
It. I mean, granted, it turns back around pretty quickly, and I feel like shit, and I hate myself. But yeah, man, I'm trying not to. I'm trying to just like.
Chill. Now what I do is I have carrots and hummus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do when I'm feeling down. Carrots and hummus, maybe some broccoli.
Do you get real hummus or do you get white people hummus?
I get Costco hummus.
White people hummus, gotcha.
It's really garlicky.
It's about the tahini, man.
Hummus doesn't have tahini.
Get the fuck out.
Tahini's tahini. Oh, I'm thinking tzatziki.
You're thinking tzatziki.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Hummus doesn't have tahini. You can leave. You can leave. It's the part that makes it the least healthy, too, because it's just sesame seed, oily, gooey. Mmm, so good.
Mmm.
Yeah.
Where do you find non-white people hummus?
Just any Middle Eastern market. I'm sure Wajamaya actually has non-white. There are some. Nah, there's not a lot of hummus that aren't. Like Sabra is just garbage hummus.
Yeah.
Just go to
Athenos or Athenos or.
Just look for the. Make sure that it is not an at the bottom of the list ingredient. It's mm-hmm. got to be pretty high up. It's got to have olive oil. It's got to. I'll introduce you to my friend, Ollie. He'll set you straight.
Sweet.
So
okay.
Real hummus is fucking really good.
Yeah.
Put that on some falafel. You won't even care that you're eating vegan. You will just be like, I am the happiest I have ever been, and I don't know why, and my breath is going to stink for a year and a half.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the Trader Joe's. Maybe the Trader Joe's hummus.
Maybe.
The Mediterranean, because it's got the pine nuts, and I mean.
It's not the pine nuts, though. Pine nuts aren't. I mean, you can put them in there, but they're not part of it. That's more of a pesto kind of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, they're potent.
Yeah, it's Italian thing.
Yeah, it's garlicky. More recently, Rob McLennan writes, now that I've got some time off from work, I'm going back through the earlier casts that I missed, and I'm wondering, glass cannons sounded very interesting.
Yeah, it sure did. I wish I had the money and time to get it going.
Yeah.
So, recap, for those of you who don't know, Glass Cannons is my bookend series that I want to do, where there's a small clearing at the center of all magical dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little creek runs through it. And magical representatives from all of the realms that touch it join there to tell stories. And they tell stories in sort of an Are You Afraid of the Dark manner. They're like a society. They go, they sit down, and then one spins a yarn, and then they leave. That kind of thing. And then there's basically an overlapping story that's about all the wizards, or, you know, magical beings, but we'll call them wizards for this. There's an overarching story that kind of ties all of them together, but the individual stories that get told can be produced by anybody. By anybody.
Right.
Because they are completely and utterly encapsulated, one-shot stories. So it's just basically a vehicle to tell other stories, but the vehicle itself is interesting. About the fourth season, something like in my head, the way I planned it out, in the fourth season, something kind of interesting happens that changes sort of the tone of everything. But yeah, it's Glass Cannons, obviously, the name you give to a wizard in a role-playing game because they hit really hard but have no armor.
Right.
So they just get killed super easy. So they're glass cannons.
And if I remember correctly, if you took season one and, I'm assuming that were we to do it on DVD or whatever, there would be a glass cannons. If you took all the intros and outros and stitched them together, they would tell one story.
Correct.
Independent of
the stories being
the interstitials that are,
yes.
are the individual.
Yes.
We should just do that.
Just do that part.
We should just do that part and then talk to people who have stuff that they want to put out that hasn't gotten wide distribution, i.e. lunch.
Lunch would be interesting. I still kind of want the stories to have some magical aspect to them, but they don't have to.
But Sarah Moore's didn't have... Of course, it wasn't
No, Sarah Moore's did.
Yet. Did it?
Sarah Moore's did. The person in her story was magical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's a year and a half for me.
Yeah, it's been a long time. But the idea is basically like if people have a story that they don't really have another place for, in Sarah Moore's case, this didn't fit into Gamer Chick.
Right.
At all. So this is a good place to tell it.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Hunt has one that doesn't fit into standard action. But it's a one-off. It's a short, you mm-hmm. know. So, and the whole idea is getting the money to produce the bookends is independent of getting produced pieces from everyone else. So it's, you know, it's an effort of many parts, and that is probably part of why it's falling apart or has fallen apart. Additionally, I now am working a full-time
job. But we should look to do that this summer.
We could
figure out what mm-hmm. we need to tell the first season story bookends.
Right. Well, and we could even
6 or 8 episodes.
Yeah, and we could even produce one of the stories. Like, I would love to do a horror movie.
Yeah.
We haven't done a good horror ever. Like, we've done stuff that has horror elements.
Yeah.
We've done plenty of bad horror. But just doing a good horror, I actually have an idea for a really good story that would be sort of a futuristic, awesome little short. But yeah, we should do this.
Yeah. And then cool. We figure it out. We can take a weekend,
mm-hmm.
go find an awesome location,
mm-hmm.
get the people who want to play.
Yep.
And it will be a camping weekend.
Yep.
We shoot while we got daylight, or we party during the day and mm-hmm. shoot at night, or whatever.
Whatever it takes.
You know, maybe we do an arc of a mm-hmm. day into a night. So mm-hmm. we get a day shoot, we get a night shoot. Knock it all out in a weekend.
Right.
Because that's the point of this, is mm-hmm. that they're supposed to be shorts. And we just get that in the can and go, boom, we yep. have this. Who wants to... Now we have it. Who wants yes. to participate? As opposed to, we're thinking of doing this. Who wants to participate? So
that's
anyone listening to the sound of my voice
yeah.
that might have some shorts that they want to produce and can do their bit...
Mm-hmm.
What did we say? 12 to 18 minutes?
12 to 18 minutes. We want these to be actual feature or actual shorts. Television length.
Yeah.
Like Amazing Stories style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, at this point, I'm going to straight up say, if you want to contribute to this project, because we held off, we didn't ask anybody to contribute. At this point, I'm willing to say, if you want to contribute to this project, we will create an account. You can contribute to it directly. We'll put the money in an account, and should nothing happen, you'll get it back. But we would gladly take contributions at this point.
Yes.
I'm not ready to run an official Kickstarter or anything like that, but I know that we had a couple of questions like, hey, how do I give money to this? If you have money that you want to give to this idea, Scott will set up a way for you to do that. We'll discuss it, and he'll set up a way for you to do that. And essentially, it will all go directly to production.
And we will do a soft launch mm-hmm. post about that. But that is something that we're going to do. The website's going to get revamped yep. here after the first of the year. I need to spend some serious time getting my website done. I'm done working on other people's
right.
website. Get my acting website done. Get the Two Bards website up.
Mm-hmm.
Get some things going. Get motivated for making 2015 the year that we finally do something. Because if
substantial.
Not now.
Right, yeah. No, I hear you. This is it.
Go schlep coffee.
This is it. Yep.
Well, so, Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you want to come in and give us a lot of money so that we can do what we love to do, please.
Or if you want to come on the show and give people a bunch of Christmas tweets that they're not going to spit back in your face, because I'm with you, buddy. You didn't hear about that?
No.
No.
Quick recap.
Neil deGrasse Tyson made some tweets about Isaac Newton being born on Christmas Day. Certain things like, you know, the 23 degrees
mm-hmm.
being the reason for this. He made some tweets about that. Pissed some people off.
Oh, wah.
Yeah, I know.
Science.
Yeah, sorry. It doesn't have to. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, Neil deGrasse Tyson, come on.
Yes, please.
I'll give you a Christmas HJ. I don't even care.